of God. He understood the sanctification of God. And that is what? The cross of Calvary. And this is what the enemy don't want the saints to say. Don't want the saints. I'm not talking about the word the saints, the believer. He wants you to shut up about the cross. Oh, you don't have to say the cross. You know, just say here. Just say, no, there's the cross. Or you don't have to say the cross. Just say he died. But it was the cross. The Bible says it's the cross. The cross is the object. It brings out and gives us the direction, amen. If it's not being done, amen, in the prescribed order that is given, you're going another way. Can I get a witness? You're going a different direction. You're going in your own way of wanting to do it your way. That's why I always say, once we get Shaf out of the way and do it what God said, amen, then we begin to see God move and the Holy Spirit begin to work in our life. The hardest people to lead, just like it was those Jews, amen. God had to what? He done time after time. He had to take them around through, amen, situation and take them around the mountain because they wanted their way. Can you say amen? They don't want it. They see, people don't want no leader. Amen. He, time after time, he had to take them around the mountain and keep them out in the wilderness. We have to ask them, maybe you out there in the wilderness because why? Because you're stubborn, because you're bullheaded, because you're not listening. You don't want it. Your mind is what? Your mind is trying to find a way to do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. I can't. I don't care what the day, by the day pretty. I can't do it on my own. I don't know how. I don't know which way I'm going, but I do know which way. I've got my faith. I got my faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. And each step I'm making, whatever position that I find myself in, and I don't know what's going to take place in there, I got faith in the cross that the Holy Spirit going to step in, and it's going to direct, and it's going to, amen, do whatever it takes in order for to direct me in the right order that I should live. How many hear what I'm saying? I can't do it myself. And that's what majority of the folks are trying to do it themselves. When I get it done, you ain't going to get it done. Jesus is the only one can get it done. Can you say amen? For sin shall not have dominion over me, over us. Amen. It is easy said and done. Let me say it again. It is easy said and done. Then done. How many hear what I'm saying? So the question is, how can I get it done? Huh? How can I, amen, obtain this? How can I, amen, have, amen, dominion over this? How can I, amen, grow strength in this? How can I be victory in this? How can I have victory in this? Paul done gave it to us. How many hear what I'm saying? He done gave it to us. He gave it to us because he had to get it. He had to experience it. That's why God took him through what he went through in order to experience the finding, amen, in order to be able to give it to us. Can you say amen? That's why he keeps us out of it. But see, sometimes we want to get it by come hearing it. That's good in his own. Try reading it yourself. Amen. I ain't going to take you to the restaurant, I ain't going to take you to the restaurant and, amen, you're going to sit to the table and I'm going to sit there and do what? Feed you myself. You're going to what? Feed. You're going to feed yourself. You're going to eat and feed yourself. Can I get a witness? And this is what most of the believers want. They want to come to church and they want the preacher to do it all, but after he do what he was called and told to do, amen, then you go home and, amen, you got to pick it up and read it and eat it for yourself. And then when you begin to hear a little of this and a little of that, then you kind of confused about it. Is he saying it right? Read it for yourself. And then the Holy Spirit is going to begin to give you what? He's going to begin to have you understanding that what he's saying is what? It's right. That's why so many people are scared to say amen, because they don't what? They don't. Don't you know 80% of the Christians, they don't read this Bible like they should. We got more people on amen. We got more people on Facebook and quote more scriptures now than ever had been.
We know that the word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Oh, I wonder how many of you are glad to have a friend like Jesus. Come on, point to yourself and say, he's my friend. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. He is my friend, my friend, my friend. Oh, he's. I want to thank the Lord that he. Hallelujah. How many of you know he'll be a friend to the end? Through thick and thin, he will be a friend. Oh, you ought to be glad to have a friend in Jesus. Oh, he's. Thank you, Jesus. My friend. My friend. My friend. Oh, he. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, he is my friend. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come on and give the Lord the praise in this place. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege. Now we pray, Lord, that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people, that they will be reminded that you're God and that you're God all by yourself. It is in you that we live and we move and we have our being. And without you, we could do nothing. We thank you now for these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, thank God again for our choir, the one and only Pleasant Hill Baptist Church Adult Choir. Amen, amen, amen. In the book of Isaiah, 43rd chapter, I understand that many of us started this new year with resolutions and commitments that we thought we'd make towards having a better year than we did last year. And here we are on the last Sunday of the first month of this new year. And some of you, because you've already failed miserably, have given up and said, I'll just start over next year. But I want to tell you today that you still have a chance. You still have an opportunity. Don't give up. Amen. Amen. God wants you to have a fresh start. Even though we're in well into this year, he wants you to have a fresh start. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, there you will find these words. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen. For just a few moments this morning, I want you to think with me as we share with you this teachment about having a fresh start. Thank you, ushers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How many of you here this morning would really like to have a fresh start even in your Christian life? Amen. Many of us here this morning have made many mistakes in our lives as Christians. We've experienced many setbacks and failures throughout our lives. Sometimes we allow these mistakes, these setbacks and failures to enslave us to the point that we never enjoy the full Christian life that God has given us to enjoy. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Then he goes on to tell us that there is an adversary called the devil that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy that life. The devil will remind us of our past in order to keep us from enjoying the life that God has given us to live. Do you know, my brothers and sisters, that the devil does not want you to have a fresh start in life? The good news is, God says, I want you to have a fresh start in life. I want you to have a new beginning, and I want to do something new in your life. Aren't you glad this morning that God wants to do something new in your life? Doesn't it make you excited to know that God desires to give you a fresh start, a new beginning in life? What all of us here need this morning is a fresh start, a new beginning with God. Last year, some of you said, I'm going to grow in my relationship with God. Some of you said, I'm going to pray more, read my Bible more, and get more involved in my church. I'm going to spend more quality time with my family. The list could go on and on. The fact is that all of us here have made some mistakes, or we made some bad decisions that hindered us from doing those things that we wanted to do. Well, this morning, the good news is, according to Isaiah 43 and 18, the Lord says, forget about what has happened before. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new things I'm going to do. Listen to what God is saying in this verse. Forget about what's happened before. He says, don't think about the past. It's over. Tell your neighbor, it's over. The book is closed on yesterday. We need to understand that God is far more interested in our future than he is in our past. Some people think that God is stuck on their past, that all he wants to do is remind them of the things that they have done wrong. But I've come by this morning to tell you that God is more interested in your future than he is in your past. That's where you're going to spend the rest of your life, in your future. He says, forget about your past. Forget about the former things. Don't think about it. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. Israel in our text was being punished for their sins and rebellion against God. God wanted to give hope and encouragement to his people. He wanted them to know that even though they were being punished, they were not being forsaken. God wanted his people to understand that the punishment that they were experiencing would not be the end of them. The fact is that God wanted to give them a fresh start in life, a new beginning. Now, you need to understand that Israel was no doubt discouraged because they thought this was the end of them. They had gone too far. How many of you in your own lives, amen, have felt like that, felt like I've gone too far? Amen. Sinned too much, rebelled against God to the point that he would no longer be there for them. Maybe they thought God would not deliver them again. And that is when they began to remember the former things are past deliverances. Israel could remember past deliverances. They could remember past victories. They could remember when they were trapped by the Red Sea and had nowhere to go, how God made a way for them. They could remember that when the enemy was about to overtake them, how he provided protection for them. They could remember the former things, but they could not see their future. And that is why God said, I'm going to do something new. Is there anybody here today who can thank God for what he's done in your past? You have a lot of victories that you can celebrate, how good he's been to you on yesterday. But you ought to be doubly excited because God told me to stop by and tell you today that you ain't seen nothing yet. He's getting ready to do something new. Oh, that's a word for somebody in here who's felt like giving up, who's felt like throwing in the towel, looking at your present circumstances and your past tribulations. But God said, don't worry about it. I'm the kind of God that can do a new thing. Are there any witnesses here today who know that he can do a new thing? So maybe that's where you are this morning. You feel that you've made so many mistakes. You failed God so many times, and you've sinned in so many ways that God doesn't want anything to do with you. You feel and believe that you have no future with God. But the good news is God is saying, it's not over. I have plans for your life. I'm about to do something new for you. And so this morning in this teachment, amen, I'm not preaching today, I'm teaching today, amen. I want to share with you how to make a fresh start. Tell your neighbor, pastor's going to talk to us about how to make a fresh start. Now, what I want to do is to share with you a formula by way of an acronym, and the acronym is START, S-T-A-R-T. I hope you'll remember it. I hope you'll share it with some of your friends who didn't get up early enough to make it to church today. Amen. You may have really blown it, and you may have made some decisions you're so ashamed of and hope nobody ever finds out about. Regardless of the failure you've had in your life, here's how you start over. S. Let me hear you say S. Stop making excuses. If I want a fresh start in life, I have to stop making excuses for my failures. I've got to stop, watch this, blaming other people. I've got to stop seeing myself as the victim of my circumstances. Do y'all know that other people can hurt us, other people can harm us, other people can scar us, but the only person that can ruin your life is you? I wonder if I have a witness here today. Nobody can ruin your life without your permission. You have a choice, and that is you can choose how you're going to respond to those hurts. The Bible says that the starting point is to just be honest and accept responsibility for my part in the problem. Over in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, Solomon says that a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses his mistakes and forsakes his mistakes, then he gets another chance. Anybody in here want another chance? He gets a fresh start. He says the starting point to starting over is to be honest and face up to the problems, that most of the problems in my life, most of the failures in my life, watch this, are my fault. It's hard to get people to admit when they're wrong. Come on, y'all. People don't like to admit it. Amen. People don't like to say, I made a mistake and I blew it. God says that if we admit the mistake, if we admit our failures, and if we admit our sin, then we get another chance. 3 reasons why people fail. The number one reason we fail in life is we don't prepare ourselves for the problems that we will face in life. Proverbs 20:7 says that a sensible man watches for problems and prepares to meet them, but the fool never looks ahead and suffers the consequences. Was it raining when Noah started building the ark? No. He had to prepare for the coming flood. In fact, the rain didn't come for 120 years, but that's how long it took him to get the thing built. So the number one reason we fail in life is we don't prepare ourselves for problems that we'll face. The second reason we fail in life is because we don't listen to nobody else. We don't listen to good advice when it's offered. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, plans fail without good advice. You need to get all the advice, and young people, you need to hear me. You need to get all the advice you can. Get good advice from people you know you can trust. Why won't people listen to the advice of other people? Because they think they don't need it. For a lot of us brothers, amen, it's something we call ego. But I found out that men aren't the only ones with ego. And do you know what ego means? Edging God out. When a person thinks they know more than God, they can push him out of their life. They're on an ego trip, and that trip leads to a dead end. I know I've got some witnesses. If you won't agree with me, I'll go to the word as my witness. The Bible says pride always leads to destruction, and arrogant attitude leads to a fall. When I think I know it all and I can figure it all out myself, I'm setting myself up for failure. If I don't listen to the advice of others, if you don't listen to the pastor or your wife or your husband or your boss or your parents and others, amen, if you think you'll just do it your way, you'll never get anywhere if you have arrived already. Did you hear what I said? I said you'll never get anywhere if you think you've arrived already. Oh, my, I know I just said something. I saw this little saying on Facebook. Somebody put on there, it said, the person that gets too big for their britches will eventually be exposed in the end. Y'all will get that when you get home. That's the problem with pride. Amen. We fail to prepare, and we fail to listen to other people, and we fail as a result. Somebody said that if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. And then the third reason we fail is we give up too soon. I'm still on, amen, stop making excuses. We fail because we give up too soon. These are the three greatest causes for failure. We give up too soon. Proverbs 20:10 says, if you give up when trouble comes, it just shows that you're weak. How many weak, anemic folk there are in the church? I mean, as long as your bills are paid, you can praise God. As long as you're healthy and the children are acting right, you can lift hands. Amen. The praise team don't have to tell you to stand up. They don't have to tell you to clap. Nobody has to pump you up or prod you to worship God as long as things are going well for you. But just as soon as a little trouble comes, as soon as a little rain comes, you want to give up and throw in the towel. But I wonder this morning if there are any committed Christians in this house, if there are any folk here today who've made up in their minds that I'm going to stay with Jesus. Failure is the path of least resistance. The problem is that often during trying times, we stop trying, we give up. But if at first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. If at first you don't succeed, you're normal. Because very few people make it on the first try. Oftentimes we give up just when success is around the corner. You're never a failure until you give up. Young folk, you've got to be committed to hanging in there, to staying in there. Amen. So S in start stands for stop making excuses. But then T, take an inventory on your life. Y'all say that with me. Take an inventory. Now, I didn't say on your neighbor's life. I said on your life. See, a lot of us are good at taking inventory on other folks' lives. We know where other folk have messed up. Amen. We know how other folks' children have gotten in trouble, and we get on the phone and we text and email, amen, about everybody else's failures. But I've come by to tell you today that if you really want to have a successful fresh start, you've got to learn how to take an inventory on you. That means I need to evaluate all of my experiences. I need to look at what I have left after the failure. I need to take an inventory of my life's experiences and watch this and learn from them. Galatians 3 and 4 says, you have experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? And then the writer says, I hope not. Amen. All it's saying is that we've got to learn from our mistakes. When you take inventory of your life, amen, it's nothing to be ashamed about that you've had mistakes in your life as long as you have learned from your mistakes. Failure can be your friend or your foe. If failure will be your friend or foe, amen, by the way you react to it, if you learn from your mistakes, if you learn from your failures, then failure is your friend. But if you don't learn anything from your mistakes, if you don't learn anything from your failures, then failure becomes your foe. Can I get a witness today? There are four kinds of experiences that God uses to shape our lives. He uses personal experiences, your childhood, amen, your upbringing, all that kind of stuff, your husband, your wife. He uses personal experiences to shape us. He uses vocational and educational experiences to shape us. But not only that, he uses spiritual experiences to shape us, like coming to church. Amen. Amen. You ought to be stronger. You ought to be better because you came into the house of worship today. You ought to be stronger. You ought to be better because the praise team lifted some song that ministered to your spirit. The choir, amen, sung some song that made you a little stronger, that made you a little better. This word, amen, ought to help you to realize that God will give you a fresh start. I've had to deal with people who are 40 and 50 years old, but they don't have 40 or 50 years of experience. And do you know why? It's because they keep reliving the same stuff over and over again. At some point, you're going to have to wake up, amen, and move on from some. I'm preaching to me. I may not be preaching to me. This message really is for Garner today. Amen. You've got to move on from some. Shame on you if you're still held captive by something that happened 10 years ago, something that happened. Shame on you if you haven't moved beyond some pain that happened many years ago. You've got to take inventory of your life. But then, A, you've got to act in faith. Amen. Matthew 9, it says, Jesus said, according to your faith, will it be done? I like that. I like that. Amen. He said, according to your faith, will it be done? That's a very simple statement, but how many of you know there's power in that statement? According to your faith, it will be done unto you. That means we tend to get out of life what we expect. According to your faith, will it be done to you? What are you expecting? Come on, nudge your neighbor. Ask your neighbor, what are you expecting in life? Some of you don't have anything because you're not expecting anything. Tell your neighbor, expect more, expect more. And I'm here today to tell you today that if you will act in faith, if you will trust God for more, I believe I've got some witnesses here who know that God is not a man that he should lie, that he will give you what he promised. And he said, if you'll have faith, he will bless you. So you've got to stop making excuses. You've got to, secondly, take an inventory on your life. Thirdly, you've got to act in faith. The story is told of Thomas Edison when he was trying to develop the light bulb. You historians know that he was the one who invented the light bulb, and they said that, amen, it was on the 200th try